Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Other news today, which is affecting the Americans in particular, and is as our habit at this time of day, we turn to Simon Marks in Washington, D.C. for his live analysis. We've got a number of things on the White House in tray this morning, Simon, as you start your Monday. Afghanistan and COVID-19. So Afghanistan first. It's not looking good, is it?
It's not looking good at all, Martin. Joe Biden returns to the Oval Office this morning after a weekend in which the Taliban relentless march continued in Afghanistan, seizing as many as five provincial capitals, including Kunduz, a major northern hub. There are still battles underway for other cities, including Lashkar Gah, which is the capital of Helmand province. And all of this continues to send a couple of very clear signals. First, that the Taliban are not even waiting for the last American troop to depart Afghanistan before sweeping in and trying to take control of the country. Secondly, it sends a message to the people of Afghanistan, particularly those opposed to the Taliban and to women in Afghanistan, that a harsh new dawn is about to break in the country. And third, it sends a message to Washington that Washington doesn't really have a plan to deal with what comes next. President Biden over the weekend, through his top aides and lieutenants, again insisted that there's no plan to head off or delay this withdrawal of American forces. And what the White House and U.S. authorities keep saying is that the Taliban needs to understand that if they take over the country and continue marauding in the manner in which they are doing, the European Union already raising questions about whether they have committed war crimes over the last few days. If they continue to do that, they are going to be treated like a pariah state. They won't be able to claim any kind of mantle of legitimacy or decency. What these White House statements don't seem to evince is an understanding that the Taliban really doesn't care about that. The Taliban's never shied away from being viewed as a pariah on the world stage. So it's very unclear what U.S. policy in this regard is going to be moving forward. But this is now becoming an absolutely front of center issue for President Biden to have to confront, and that's partly because of congressional pressure on him. There are many Republicans and Democrats who didn't like the idea of this withdrawal in the first place and said it was going to lead to disaster, and they this week will be saying to the White House, I told you so, now what on earth are we going to do to try and prevent Afghanistan from becoming a haven in the future for terrorism? Also just worth noting that over the weekend the U.S. Embassy in Kabul put out an advisory to any Americans in Afghanistan, not, of course, including U.S. troops, and saying to them, you need to get out, and you need to get out as quickly as you can find a commercial flight to get you out of the country, and warning them specifically that the American embassy will very soon not be in any position to offer them meaningful assistance. It all smacked, if you read this security alert that the embassy put out, it all smacked very much of the American departure from Saigon in Vietnam back in the 70s.
Wow. And we know how that went. Simon, just to pause for a second, because I got some update on Belarus from the British government. The Grant Shapps has tweeted this. The UK government has imposed further aviation, trade and financial sanctions on Belarus in response to the continued undermining of democracy and human rights violations by the Lukashenko regime. He says, I will make a further update in due course on the next steps for the aviation sector. So no, Chris Golds, we'll keep you across that as the afternoon goes on. on, but Grant Shapps on behalf of the UK government announcing further aviation trade and financial sanctions on Belarus. Right, back to America and a familiar difficulty for the president as he returns to the Oval, COVID-19. What's going on, Simon?
Well, it's a disaster. We've had another dreadful weekend for 2 days running now, both Saturday and Sunday. The death toll for a single day rose above 500. We're approaching 110,000 new cases a day. The flare-up continues to be focused on those states that have substantial pockets of unvaccinated people in them, seven states, including Florida, Louisiana, Texas, and a host of others that now account for more than 50% of new cases of the Delta variant. In Texas over the weekend, the space for intensive care unit beds was at such a premium that in some cases, patients with COVID-19 were being flown over 100 miles from where they lived to find the nearest bed with the nearest hospital with an available intensive care unit bed. And we are witnessing an ongoing battle between the White House and particularly Republican governors, who Joe Biden is accused of standing in the way of aid on the COVID-19 issue by, for example, in the state of Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis implacably opposing the enforcement of any kind of face mask mandate in schools when they return in the Sunshine State shortly. As you know, the Delta variant very much targeting younger unvaccinated populations. But there are some governors now, Republicans, that the White House concedes are taking steps to urge their state's residents to embrace vaccines. They include Governor Asa Hutchinson of Arkansas, who earlier opposed a face mask mandate and now says he made a mistake and he's urging the legislature in the state to impose one. But at a time when Americans are on the move, it's the summer travel season here, you know, I am still officially told by the Centers for Disease Control and the State Department that I must not, under any circumstances, travel to the UK because the Delta variant risk is too great even for fully vaccinated Americans to visit the UK. But on the other hand, there's absolutely no advice telling me don't go anywhere near Florida, where clearly yes, the incidence of Delta and COVID are way, way, way higher and rising than they are in Britain. So there are all sorts of contradictions in US policy, and we're reading today a growing frustration, as there should be, frankly, within the White House about the performance of the Centers for Disease Control, and anxieties about why the White House isn't getting the raw data that it needs from the CDC in order to be able to respond in real time to this sudden spike of the Delta variant.
Yeah, there's echoes in the UK handling of it as well. That was one of Dominic Cummings' main thrust, I think, in his arguments about the accuracy or the need for good data way back. Simon, just a little postscript, if we may. If we're looking for one little scintilla of hope or optimism for President Biden, that infrastructure bill made just a small step at the weekend, did it?
Yeah, but this cuts both ways. Certainly progress for the infrastructure spending proposal that President Biden has put forward, over $2 trillion in the US Senate. It indeed looks like there is the coalition of support that he needs there to get it through. That will be a defeat for former President Donald Trump, who continues to go to the mat, urging Republicans on Capitol Hill to oppose this infrastructure deal, saying it's the thin end of a thick wedge that will lead to what he describes as the radical left Green New Deal from being imposed on America. All of this now shifts to the House of Representatives, where the future of this bill remains a bit unclear because Democrats as well have some reservations about aspects of it. But if you want to understand why this country desperately needs some infrastructure spending, just take a look at some members of the US Olympic team who are still stranded in Tokyo, because when they showed up yesterday for their United Airlines flight back to Chicago, after boarding the plane, they were all told they had to get off because of a technical issue with the aircraft, and were then told it was going to take 18 hours to fix the problem. Imagine mention being the country that can't get its Olympic athletes, or at least some of them, home.
Simon, that gives me the perfect cue just to mention the fact that the pictures have been taken with thanks, by the way, to Simon Marks in Washington, D.C. We will speak again tomorrow. But over at Heathrow, I reported on the plane arriving and the steps have been put there. So this is what the British athletes, the UK, the Team GB athletes did. They all came out. Well, first of all, the BA flight crew came down the steps. They'd all got their Union Jacks ready and they formed an arc, a sort of reception committee. Then all the athletes, or certainly a representative body of them, came down to fill the steps. That's the picture you'll see in the television news bulletins on the front of your newspaper tomorrow, perhaps. Team GB, as successful as London 2012, they had their picture taken and they were without any kind of hand luggage at all at the time. Then they all turned around and went back into the plane, presumably to go and get their hand luggage. And now I can report that the plane is slowly emptying.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right Rug.